Welcome to Greece. This is the land where the great Apostle Paul experienced so many adventures. I'm in the modern port of Kavala, which in Paul's day was known as Neapolis. It's here that he landed on his second missionary journey. He was setting foot on the continent of Europe for the very first time. It's here that he, and bringing the good news of Jesus with him, landed on his second missionary journey. It was a deeply, he was setting foot on the continent of Europe for the very first time, and bringing the good news of Jesus with him. It was a deeply significant moment. Paul always headed straight for centres of strategic importance, and so he and his companions set off inland along the Roman military road toward the Roman world was emerging. Philippi was a base of empire. It bore the name of its founder, Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. Usually Paul made straight for the synagogue to proclaim the good news about Jesus. But here in Philippi, there doesn't seem to have been one. Instead, there was a place of prayer by the river, and its congregation consisted of women. So here we are. It's a very tranquil spot, and it's very easy to visualize Paul joining these women for worship and sitting down here, just by the river, waiting to be invited to speak. One of the women called Lydia came from the very top end of the social scale. As she listened to Paul, the Lord opened her heart to respond, to believe that Jesus is the Christ. She was baptized in this very river, and immediately she invited Paul and his companions to her home. "If you judge me to have been faithful to the Lord," she said, "come to my house to stay." On another Sabbath, Paul, in the name of Jesus, delivered a slave girl from an evil spirit, which enabled her to foretell the future. This ability had made a tremendous amount of money for her evil owners. When they saw that their source of income was gone, they were furious and hauled Paul and Silas before the magistrates. Here in this very forum, under mob pressure, they tore the clothing off them and ordered them beaten with rods. It was a severe flogging, and then they were flung into jail. I'm standing in what purports to be the actual prison in which they were incarcerated. But although prison bars may stop you getting out, they can't stop God getting in. And so it was that possibly in this very jail, with torn backs and aching limbs, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. No wonder the other prisoners were listening to them. And at about midnight, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The jailer was about to kill himself, knowing that he'd be blamed for the loss of his prisoners. But Paul shouted out, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The grateful jailer and his family were converted and baptized that very night. The next day, the magistrate sent word to release Paul and his companions, but he refused to leave. He said he was a Roman citizen and had been humiliated. The frightened magistrates came to apologize, but they asked him to leave the city. And so they left behind as the foundation members of the church here in Philippi, Lydia, the jailer, and the slave girl, themselves representative of the entire cross-section of society. Such is the unifying power of the gospel. It's not surprising that in the years and centuries that followed, the church here, with its rich heritage of mutual faith and love, was to grow strong in its witness to Jesus. There's plenty of evidence of the strength of later Christian witness here. The first Christian place of worship discovered dates right back to the year 312. The donor's mosaic inscription actually mentions Paul by name, and it reads, "Porphyrius, Bishop, made this mosaic floor of the Basilica of Paul in Christ." It's further dramatic confirmation of the impact of Paul's visit here.